just thankful for who they are. Let's just give them a warm ascend welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. You know, we've been looking forward to this. You know, we've been building a relationship over the past, you know, like, I don't know, probably 6 months where, you know, Ascend Church and Shake All Nations and a lot of you guys come over there and, you know, and the worship team. It's just, God's doing great things in the body of Christ. He's bringing the church together and he's blessing us with connections and he's blessing us with relationships. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. It's relationships. It's not about a religion. It's about relationships. God wants relationships. So we're so thankful to be over here, Pastor. And so, as I say, it's a privilege. Always a privilege to preach the word of God and teach the word of God. But to be invited to different places. And, you know, you probably know this, right? You probably know this before I say this. You have gems on the stage. There is God's treasures are actually on the stage. You know, sometimes we go places, you know, and we've got to preach and teach, and sometimes it can be downright hard work, right? When you're doing things in the kingdom. But I knew when we walked in here tonight, I thought, this isn't going to work. This is going to be so easy, Lord, because you're already here, because of the presence and because of the worship, because the people here have a heart to worship God, and the ascension of those worship, the worship causes the descension of his glory to come into this place. It's beautiful, beautiful. Anyway, I've said enough. Bless you. I'm going to give it up to my wife now.
Hey, good morning. We're tagging it today, so I love it. Ladies before gentlemen. Isn't that good? Take that word right now. In this day and age, that is a word of knowledge. Ladies before gentlemen. Okay, well, Pastor, he said, you just do your thing, whatever your thing is. So here we go. Oh, we were coming over here this morning and I kept seeing pictures. So I'm not going to wait until we do a prayer line to share these prophetic pictures I was getting. I'm going to share them now. And then after that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Bible study classes, what we're doing. And I'll break it down in English so you understand what's coming at you. Okay, so the first picture I saw this morning, and it was a picture of pearls. Pearls of great price. And what I heard was that some of you are casting your pearls before swine. I'm not meaning that people are the swine. Read it in the scriptures. I'm meaning that you're casting your pearls of wisdom, pearls of love, pearls of encouragement, pearls of exhortation towards people that are not really listening and it's not their time to hear. And they're trampling those pearls. And they're persecuting you and it's outside of God's timing. I love it. When we're called to be oracles of the Lord and to speak words of love to people, when it's unctioned, called for by the Holy Spirit, it's okay. It's all good because whatever persecution comes our way, we're blanketed with that love and that shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the wicked one. In other words, shuts it up. Okay, now another picture I saw, that if you're heavy laden, I love it. This is your daddy's house. I've never been anywhere, where there's been couches at the front of the church. Hey, that's a sign that you're in your daddy's home. You're in your daddy's house, so relax. Rest, be at peace. Just chill out. Jesus sees you. You know, like the kids at the back, can you see me? Can you see me? Can you see me, parents? Can you see me, teachers? Can you see me, Jesus? He sees you. So if you just rest and be at peace, he's going to touch your hearts today. He's going to get in there. And if at any time when we're speaking, some of you, it's almost like, yeah, I was picking up. I thought, oh, pastors, both pastors were picking up what I heard in the spirit. If you're on the brink of tears, let the tears flow. Let them flow because you know what the Lord gives us? He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. Do an exchange. If you can see on me the oil of joy, hello, how much mourning do you think I did in life? This mourning, sorrow, grief, disappointment. I did an exchange for that oil of joy. And you know what I did in the kingdom? The Bible says he gives me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you're feeling heavy, open your mouth. Praise the Lord anyhow. And if you don't know how to, hey, I've got news for you. If you don't know the words to say, pick up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, tell the pastors, we'll get you one. Have a look in the Psalms. Have a look in the Psalmist David's love poems. Have a look how to praise the Lord. In his love poems, he was saying exactly what was happening and how he was feeling. How he was feeling. But then he went and praised the Lord anyhow. Praise you, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. Bright and morning star, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's none like you on all the earth. You're not on your own. You're not doing it on your own. If you've given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. Hello? How far away is God? Hello? Now, if you don't know Jesus and you've not given your heart to Jesus yet, that's okay. You can see us after the service and we'll get you hooked up. But if you've received Jesus, hello, have a look. Get your hand, put it here. He's on the inside of you. That's how close God is. That's how close he is. And that's a part of what we're going to come and teach you. Another picture I saw was of a ping pong table. And I saw this ping pong going back and forth and back and forth. And for some of you, that's you involved in strife with your tongue, your words. You're arguing with people. You're putting another log on the fire of that strife. And then you're coming to God, crumpled in a heap, crying. And he's going, hey, stop putting another log on the fire with your tongue. He never said argue with people. That's strife. Where there's strife, there's not the peace of God. So the book of James gives us a solution. Now, I know this. I had to take this medicine myself. This is your prescription. I took it. I know. My mum's an Australian, very vocal people. I was brought up. I didn't have to go to school to learn to swear. I learned it from my Australian mother. And I had to go to the bleachers with God for my tongue. Our tongues can be so, they are like weapons. Wow. We can shoot arrows of love into people's hearts and set the captives free. We can look at someone and say, hey, I love you and Jesus loves you. We can cause deliverance in the power of those words, or we can use them for the other side. It's like Star Wars. Do you want to be on the side of Luke Skywalker or Darth Vader? You choose with your tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Don't do it. In the book of James, it says we are to be swift to hear. What? Swift to hear what the Holy Spirit's trying to say to us. Slow to speak. Yay! Ladies, that's us sometimes. When we want to get our own way in our home with our husbands and everyone else, sometimes just back it up. Back up the bus. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. It's no use getting your knickers in a twist. It's no use getting hot under the collar. Do you think you're going to make something happen because of that? Now, my kids are 22 and 25, and I survived the teenage years. They weren't angels. Both of them went AWOL, a little ticket tour. We're going to go over to the world and see what candy they've got because we're bored with the church. That was my testimony. And I was a youth pastor for years. I used to love teenagers, loved teenagers. I loved them. I thought, what's wrong with their horrible parents? Get their parents out the room. What's up with them? Then I became the mother of teenage children. Oh, Jesus. Never mind. Then running away from home, I wanted to run away from home. Hey. Yeah, can you hear me? These are real feelings. And I thought, oh no, here am I. Send Susan to be the youth pastor. Hey, no, it's over. It's over, God. I understand now. I got a revelation. I got a revelation and I had to learn how to love. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. If you want to grow in love, hey, know this, we're always going to be suffering something for a long time. Just get it now. Just accept it. But I don't mean suffering like going around with a sour lemon face. Oh, happy days. No, don't be rude. Don't be selfish. It just means that you grow. You know, you're long-suffering with joy. Get some joy. That's what we're going to come and teach you, who you are, your identity in Christ Jesus. Now, when we got born again, which means that, you know, Jesus came to live in our heart, it's not our bodies that got born again. We didn't look like J-Lo or Kim Kardashian or Sonny Bill Williams or Arnie Schwarzenegger when he was Mr. Universe. No! Our body didn't get born again, that's for sure. Some of us still wanted to just smoke 50 cigarettes a day and who knows what. I don't want to know. Jesus already knows. He came to set the captives free from that stuff. And it wasn't our soul that got born again. We all know that. Oh, I love Jesus. Yay, I'm born again. And then I'm walking around feeling rejected, not loved, because of a trauma that happened when I was 4 years old and my parents got a divorce and they were in Auckland. And my mother ran away with one of my dad's mates, an adulteress, and took the two children over to Sydney. And I was away from my daddy. I was a daddy's girl. I know what it's like to be Jesus and to be separated from his father on the cross. I became a wreck. I was traumatized. At 4 years old, I felt abandoned. I felt rejected. I know I must have been crying out for my daddy and the natural never came. It wrecked me at four. But you know what? I met Jesus. Ha! I met Jesus and I gave my life to him. And he is perfect love. And we did an exchange. It took years, but we did an exchange. We did an exchange. I heard the gospel, the good news. I heard the truth of the word of God, that I am a new creation. I got my brains washed. Yeah, you think it's brainwashing? Sure, it is brainwashing. Your brains need washed. My brains need washed. It's in the Bible, the washing by the water of the word of God, the renewing of our mind, that is the secret. That is the secret. That like memories, it's like Ghostbusters. It's like a bad movie replaying over and over in your brains. We need to wash that stuff out. So we're coming to give you tools. How to get your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. How the Word of God can get in there. It said Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word is God. Jesus was the Word in flesh. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. And to set the captives free. If you're captive like a spider in a web and you can't get out, the love of Christ, the revelation knowledge of God, get in there, right in there. I mean, right down to the nitty gritty. I mean, not surface stuff. No, no, no. I'm not talking about tilling the land. I'm talking about, hello, how about we just dig all that soil out? Mm-hmm. All that rubbish out. Let's get right in there. Let's get naked before God. And I don't mean your clothes. I don't want to say none of that nonsense. Let's get naked before God. Hey, he knows. It's okay. And be encouraged like little children. You know, we grow day by day. I grew day by day. And here I am. I'm a testimony to what we're coming over to teach you on Wednesday nights, these Bible study classes. They are transformational. I'm transformed. I know I'm loved and accepted in the Beloved. My belief, this is my belief, and we can have our own beliefs because it's all about working out your own beliefs with the Lord and salvation. I believe I'm daddy's girl. I believe I'm favorite, but that's okay. You can believe that too. You can all believe that you are a favorite of daddy because between you and your daddy, it's just you and your daddy. Amen to that on Judgment Day. I don't appear with Danny. I don't go a lot, yeah, it was him, God, you know, that, you know? No, it's just me and my daddy. Hi. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go, hey, Dad, and jump on his lap and say, yay, where to now? Where's my mansion? Where's my treasures? Where's my riches, Dad? Where are they? Because I love my daddy and my daddy loves me. Amen. We are loved and accepted in the beloved, which means the body of Christ, the family of God. This is the family. Like the mafia has the family. All right? This is the family. You're meant to be safe in the family. And you know, it's like any family. You know, there's squabbles, brothers and sisters that fight like cats and dogs. That's okay. That's normal. So if you fall out with your brother and sister, that's all good. Just say sorry and get on with it. Just be quick to say sorry. Don't go ratting on them to all the other family members. Don't act like that. Act like the family of God. Say, hey, I'm sorry. You know? And if you're jealous of someone else in the family, get your eyes on Jesus and let him reveal to you who you are. You're an individual. You're special. You've got gifts and talents. You can't compete with anyone else. They're not in your lane. Like when you're in that Olympic race, 100-yard sprint, you've got to be in your own lane. Between you and Jesus, just look straight ahead. Sometimes you have to think, hey, what so-and-so is doing is none of my business. None of my business. Get in the lane with Jesus. You're all winners. But the greatest revelation that you can get, which we want to impart to you, is love. Faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. If you get to know deep down, like in the inside, in your gut, and you know, like I know now, that you're loved. You're loved. You're loved. It becomes a shield of faith. It's all very well saying, yeah, put the shield of faith up. Like, what does that look like? Do I go down to the $2 shop and buy me a shield? And, yeah, it's up, devil. No, what does that look like? To me, it's like the shield of faith of love. I thank God every day. I am loved and accepted in the family. I thank God I am loved. I thank God that he's not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I'm not having stinking, tormenting thoughts. And you stinking devils too, you can just get out and go. I'm none of your business. You can go far away from me. And we'll empower you. The Bible says submit to God. Surrender to his love. Change. Believe he's there. And then resist those devils, whatever they are that may torment you. And it says they will flee from you as in terror. I think it's very funny. I do. Nothing scary about it at all. No, because it's like, yeah, who wins? Who's the greatest one? Who is your daddy? Who's your daddy? Daddy God, that's your daddy. Daddy God's your daddy. So we're to run our race with faith, amen? We're to know that we're loved and accepted in the beloved. And we're going to impart that to you. And you're going to get revelation. Because if I got it, you can get it too. I was a messed up 21-year-old over in Scotland, freaking my box, putting on a big fake smile, extroverted. But that was just a negative facet of rejection. But Jesus came in there and says, hey, honey, come here now. Let's take all your masks off. Hello. I can see right through you anyway. Let's get in there, sweetheart. And he taught me through Bible teachers. He taught me truth. And yay, I got it and I received it and then I walked in it. Because the Bible says we're the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth. We're meant to be shining like beacons of light. We're meant to look at Jesus. And the last thing I'll share before I hand over, the Apostle Paul. Sometimes in life, I get it. We have to do things that we don't actually like. I'm so thankful. I just handed in my notice 2 weeks ago to a job that I didn't really like for the last 6 months, but I had to go anyway. The Apostle Paul, he was in prison and he was writing letters to the churches, which we read today. We read them today. Do you think he enjoyed being in a dungeon prison? No. So I'm not saying that your life is going to be a bed of roses and you're going to fly out here like Cinderella. You, on some kind of ding-ding magic carpet. Yay, floating. Yay, that's me. I'm a princess now. I'm untouchable. Oh, I'm not talking about that stuff, no. I'm talking about getting armoured up with revelation knowledge of the Word of God so that even when you're in circumstances like the Apostle Paul, he was shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead. Do you think he felt good? Do you think he felt good getting stoned? I mean, what if I came up here? I'm not going to do it, but what if I really punched you in the arm? Like, what the heck is that? Do you think you'd really feel good? What, do you go crying to your mummy some days because you don't feel good? It's not to do with your feelings. We're going to teach you how to walk in the Spirit. We're going to teach you actually that you are a spirit first. You're a spirit and you live in a body. This is not really who you are, this thing. This is like, hello? No. It's the temple that we live in. It's certainly not our brain, God, that can be all over the show. I love you. I love you not. I love you. I love you not. You're on my Christmas list. You're not. But praise the Lord anyhow. No, no, I've fallen out with you and don't talk to her because I don't like her anymore. And this is my little wee clique. Hello. Oh, I know we love Jesus. Yeah, and why don't you want to see, do you want to receive Jesus? You can be just like me. Yeah, no, I don't like you anymore. I don't feel good about you anymore. Yeah, you're rude. And pastor spoke to you and he didn't speak to me. He's prophesied to you, didn't prophesy to me. I'm not coming back to this church. No one noticed me. Nah, that's not Christianity, mate. That's not it. Oh, Jesus. No. You're not going to win anybody to the kingdom by behaving like that, okay? You're not. They're going to look at you and, oh, no, we do that in my place. I don't need to follow them. I got that one. Oh, look at the way she's treating her husband. That was us in our early days. And no, I don't need to follow their marriage. We do that at home. You ask my husband, 27 years married, through hell and high water. One time I tried to run away. The Holy Ghost goes, where are you going? You get back home. I couldn't run away from the Holy Ghost. Jesus. He says, look, if I made my bed in hell, behold, you're there. My God is everywhere. Especially if he lives on the inside of you. Oh, I had to go back home. I tried to run away to my dad's one night when I was newly married, and my Scottish dad is like old school. Old school, mate. Yeah, cup of tea. Yeah, lovely. I was married at 23. I was just still on my little journey. Cats, you know, females, cats, scratch your eyes out. I'll do you. Yeah, okay, and then we'll go to church. Hallelujah. In fact, yeah, we're still in leadership. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll pray for you, brother. Not talking to you, though. Come on, this is real language. Don't hide from me. If I did it, you've done it too. Unless, is Jesus here today? Is any of you like, are you like Jesus? No, no, no. Okay, this is real talk. 27 years, we got the label. Yay, I tell this thing and hubby goes, stop saying that. I say, yeah, we're 27 years married, 2 years happily married. No, I do exaggerate. I exaggerate, but can you imagine, unlike I was born in Whakatane, you want to know where I come from? All right, I come from Whakatane, all right, over there somewhere, 15 years in Scotland. And then we came back in 2001. And then he understood why I'm like I am. Because I'm like Kiwi, man. I'm like to the Scots people, like, who the heck is she? She's way out the box. She's Kiwi and born again. Whoa, she's too friendly. Far out. What's she smiling at? Are you on dope? I got asked that. Are you on drugs? Are you on drugs? I got kicked out of one branch in Scotland. I worked in banks, different banks. The manager kicked me out of his bank because people would come up to the till. I'd be serving them. Why are you smiling? I said, oh, it's Jesus. And he pulled me in the office. He goes, you meant to be selling home insurance, not Jesus. But they're asking. They're asking. He said, oh, get rid of her. He arranged a transfer. I went to the next branch and I got pulled into the manager's office. And you're here because we were told you were trouble. I thought, oh, Jesus, I'm trouble? No, I used to be trouble, honey. I ain't trouble now. And I was put like on a watch. They were watching me. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I was only in my 20s, newly wed. It's hard enough, isn't it, after the first year of honeymoon. Oh, the toothpaste. Why can't you put a lid on the toothpaste? Just put the toilet seat down. No, I'm just trying to get that we are real people. We didn't just fly out like, whoa, from the clouds of heaven. Oh, we have come down to talk to you, human beings. No. All right. Yeah? Have I got your attention yet? Do I need to keep going? Do I need to really pull out the dirty laundry? No. No, that is enough, because apparently it's meant to be a relationship. We're meant to be coming back. Might have my contract cancelled. Cancelled. So be encouraged. I love it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart does look good like a medicine. Okay, we've got to lighten up. We've got to get to know who Jesus is. So when we go out there, like Jesus said, I'm sending you to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we're people who are precious. And we're called and anointed to go and be disciples and to go and gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Yeah, we got back up from the roaring lion. I know about the lion of the tribe of Judah. I got that one. You should see me if I'm on a different, I'm in a different spiritual mood today. I can be Haji Carter. Got your number. Yeah, here's the sword coming. Hey, yo. But that's not what's happening today. That's not what's happening. It's a lightening. It's a lightheartedness. It's a lightheartedness. Wise as serpents, what does that mean? Snakes are sneaky. They're not like big grizzly bears where you can hear them coming in the bush because they're so heavy and they step on all their branches and you can hear them coming and they've got this big roar. No, no, wise as serpents. Snakes are sneaky. They just... They just love on people. No, they don't. But they're sneaky. We're to be like them. They come up there and before you know, there's a snake in front of you. You didn't see it coming. It's there suddenly. And so we just love on people. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. We get close to them. We befriend them. And then they go, oh, what is it about you anyway? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I've been working on you for like 20 years. Okay. And gentle as doves, the Holy Spirit came and descended upon Jesus in a form of a dove. Gentle, 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 gentle. Amen? Right, it's Danny's turn.
Yeah, I know. I'm done too. I'm exposed. It's one thing about my wife, she tells the truth. But she is telling the truth. 27 years married, and it was, believe me, it was hell and high water. Two different cultures coming together, trying to bring two different cultures, different belief systems, and all sorts of things, try to work it out. And the only thing why we survived and why we are flourishing today is the Word of God. The Word of God, standing on the Word and standing on the promises God gave us when we first met. It was such, I mean, I haven't got time to go into it today. It's a whole story how God divinely, supernaturally brought us together. It's a whole, it would take me an hour and a half to tell the whole story, how he brought us together. But because of that, the battles that we were about to face, we could stand upon the prophecies that God spoke to us. The divine word that God implanted in our life, when we stood against the battles, it was standing on the word of God that got us through. Jesus will take you through anything. Jesus will take you through anything. Nothing is impossible to God. Do you hear me, people? Nothing. There's nothing impossible. There is no situation right now that you are facing that's impossible to be changed. Because he's the God of the impossible. Examples of that. It looked impossible. It looked like it was never going to work. There was even people telling us all around about us like that. It's never going to work. Your marriage is dead. It's not. It's over, over. It's never over with God. What God has put together, no man shall put asunder. And there's no devil will put asunder either. But the key is this. As we're talking about the new creation reality, you've got to know who you are in Christ. because there's many Christians. Come on, let's be truthful here. There's many Christians being divorced. There's many Christians who are in mental institutions. There is many Christians that are broke, that are messed up. And don't tell me they don't love God. They love God. So if it was just loving God, it would be all sweet and well, wouldn't it? Because they love God, even when they're in the mental institutions, even when they're in their broken marriages, even when they're in their divorced state, whatever state that they're in, we know that God loves them, and we know that they love God. So it's not just loving God that makes a difference. The Bible tells me, in the book of John, it says, this is your victory. This is your victory. Your faith in Him and His abilities and what He did at Calvary and what He's caused and what He's promised you and who He's called you to be. This is your victory, it says in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is your victory in Christ Jesus that you can overcome by your faith. Your faith what? Your faith in His ability. Your faith in what He's done. See, it's not about what you can do. It wasn't about me and Tracy trying to survive in our marriage or trying to make it work. The more we tried to make it work, the more we made it worse. We just had to just lean over into Him. Did you hear me? You've got to lean over into Him. You've got to press in to Him. You press in to your Jesus. You press in. No wonder it says in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher, and the developer of your faith. He's the only person that can develop you. Psychology can't develop you. Education can't develop you. Now they implant some into your life, so education's fine. But there's many people who are educated beyond their intellect. I've worked in social work for over 10 years. Worked with the psychologists, worked with all the high educated people. And I'm telling you, they were educated beyond their intellect. They were so educated, they were stupid in some things that they did. They had no wisdom. See, the knowledge of the schools and the colleges, they will fill people's heads with knowledge. If it was knowledge, all those guys who were educated would be the top of everything. Walking, everyone would be blessed, everyone would be fine. It's not knowledge. It's wisdom that changes your life. God imparts knowledge through His word, but as He imparts knowledge through His word, in fact, the Apostle Paul prayed it this way, he says, I pray that the spirit of wisdom, and revelation may open the eyes of your understanding that you may know the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glory in the saints. Point to yourself and hear. In the saints. You are the saints of God. The Apostle Paul is praying a prayer. I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelations, chapter 1 of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, this is they call this the apostolic prayer. I pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation may open the eyes of your understanding that you may see, perceive, and know the hope of His calling. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. We have an inheritance. There's treasures within sight of you. There's power within sight of you. There's dominion within sight of you. There's authority within sight of you. That's why, as the pastor says, that's why we need the apostolic ministry. We need the pastors. We need the teachers. We need the prophets. We need the fivefold ministry gifts. Why? Because there's an anointing upon these gifts to unlock your destiny. That's why people can get in a mess. Oh, it's just me and Jesus. No, it's not, buddy. You're missing it a million miles. If it's just you and Jesus, then rip your Bible up and throw it in the bin. Because God tells me in His word, He gives apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists for what? For the work of to bring the people to the fullness of the stature of the knowledge of Christ. So you can become effectual for the work of the ministry. For us to be effective in this life and to be effective for what God wants us to be, we need to be sitting under these gifts. I'm 34 years in this. Know what I'm talking about? I think. 34 years. Traveled with apostles and been around the States. But you know, at the end of the day, it's about knowing Him. These gifts are only there to help you to know Him better. It's about what Jesus done on the cross. But not just on the cross. He rose from the dead. He conquered death and hell and the grave. He conquered it for us. Tells us in Colossians. It says he has translated us from the powers of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He's delivered us. He has already delivered us from the powers of darkness. See, past tense. He has delivered you from the powers of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son, where there's love and joy and peace and righteousness and the Holy Ghost, because that's what the word of God says. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is love and joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. If there's joy flowing from you, if there's peace flowing from you, if you're walking in the revelation of who you are in Christ, you're walking in the kingdom of God. You have been delivered already. But the sad matter is this. When you get born again, you've been delivered. But it's by revelation that you understand that you've been delivered. It's by revelation knowledge. That's why the Apostle Paul is praying that prayer. I pray that the eyes of understanding me be enlightened so they can see the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory that's within you. He's praying. In fact, he prays another prayer in Ephesians. And the Apostle Paul, and he says, listen, woman. I'll speak to the women. Women know about this than men. You know what travail means, don't you? Travail. Giving birth. Giving birth. Right? Through pain, through agonizing pain. Right? Giving birth. The Apostle Paul says and makes a statement, and he goes, I travail again in birth until Christ be formed in you. I meditate on that. And think, you know, sometimes, you know, as Pastor says, language. Sometimes we hear language, and we've got no idea what the language is actually saying. And I said to the Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying when he's saying, I travail again until Christ be formed in you? We say that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. And Apostle Paul is saying, I travail again. Again means he's already travailed. Travailed what? He travailed. He gave birth through his prayers, through his heavenly prayers. He prayed people into the kingdom. We are a powerful people. The greatest thing on the face of this earth is God has given you a mouth so you can, your mouth can be filled with his word, so you can pray his divine mysteries, so you can pray the word of God, who you are in Christ, but also pray for those to come into the kingdom. But he says, I travail again. So he's prayed them into the body. He's now teaching them. Then it said he travailed again till Christ be formed in them. And I said, Lord, what does that mean, till Christ be formed in you? And the Lord spoke to me and he says, it means this. Until the revelation, when the word of God gets implanted within your spirit, when the word of God comes and gets implanted in your spirit, it's the eyes of your understanding being enlightened and you see who you are in Christ. You see who you are in Christ. Christ being formed in you. You walk in the revelation of who you are in him. We can be walking Christians for years. I've seen it over the years, people. I've seen it over the years, 34 years. And even in my own life, for the first few years of my life. And listen, I ain't there and I'm far from there, believe me. This is a daily walk. The just shall live by faith. What does that really mean? The just shall live by faith. It means believing and speaking according to his promises and what he says and who he says you are. There's too many times we are speaking and believing what the circumstances is telling us, or what our education has told us, or what our background, or what our cultures has told us. It's the culture of heaven that changes your life. I'm Scottish. I play the bagpipes. I wear the kilt. I do functions. Don't laugh, right? I wear the kilt, play the bagpipes, and I've traveled all over the States playing the bagpipes for Jesus and being with pastors and. But I know it's not my culture that touched me and changed me. My Scottish culture, if I look back, I know the brother was in Scotland there, you know, in Loch Ness and all these places, you know. The culture of the Scottish people, they're a very aggressive people. They're beautiful. They'll befriend you. And they'll be the friends for life. Cross them and you're a dead man. That's just their culture, right? You don't mess with them, right? They're warriors. Like the, you know, Maoris, warriors, warrior spirits. So I know what culture is. Heavy drinkers. They drink the locks dry. Right? That's why we have a lot of locks in Scotland. God's got to keep filling the locks up because they keep drinking them. right? They're heavy drinkers. I used to go to the bagpipe, competitions with these guys, and man, you'd see these pipers. I mean, on their knees. I mean, just throwing up with all this, with the drink and the booze and the whiskey and the whole, throwing up and then getting back up and getting back on the pipes and as marching back in, you know, and just hardy guys. The culture. I don't know what culture is. Aggressive. Drink. The pubs are full of guys. Messed up. Scottish. Oh, I'm Scottish. I'm Scottish. You know what the Apostle Paul says? He says, your citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. You hear me? Your citizenship is in heaven. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. Genesis 1, verse 26. 5 minutes. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. You are created in the likeness and the image of God. God is a spirit. Tells you in Genesis 1, 26. God is a spirit. Tells you in John chapter 4 and 26. It says, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. But you are a three-part being. This is a little bit from the New Creation Reality teaching. You're a three-part being. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. Now, all the problems that we have in life is soulical, people. The soul is the very seat of your emotions. It's the very seat. It's very hard to separate your soulical man from your spirit man, and the only thing that can divide that is the Word of God. The only thing that can divide your soul from your spirit is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and it's sharp, and it divides between the soul and the spirit. It's the divider. It exposes what's of the soul and what's of the spirit. The Word of God is the only thing that can do that. All the problems we have is soulical. The seat of the emotions. Like Tracy talked, and it was very funny the way she talks about our feelings and about emotions. I know that I have feelings. I know that I have emotions. Listen, the Scottish culture have emotions. They have an angry emotion. They are an angry nation. They are beautiful, but they're an angry nation. And they yield to that emotion of anger. In the 1960s and 70s in Scotland and in Glasgow, there was a lot of violence. From the angry nature, the violence that happened in Scotland in the 60s and 70s, people running around with swords, chopping up each other. I mean, gangs all over the place. It was aggression. The spirit of darkness, the spirit of this world, impacting people's lives. But when you get born again, you get a new nature. But then you might say, but look at that person. I don't see the new nature in that person. That's because their soul has not been renewed. That's because it says in the book of James 1 and 22, it says, receive the word of God that is able to save your soul. Receive the engrafted word of God. Receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save your soul. Your soul is your emotions, your will and your intellect, your mind. When you get born again, you're saved. You receive Jesus, you're saved. You have the nature of God living in you. You have the DNA of God in you, partakers of his divine nature. The book of Peter says that you are partakers through the knowledge of Christ, of the divine nature of Christ. You have the divine nature of Christ living in you. But we are not tapping into it. We are not developing it. See, I hear people say, oh, God, give me more love. God can't give you more love. The love of God's already been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God's in you, but you can develop it. It can be developed. So we're praying prayers that are going amiss. Oh God, give me more love. And God's saying, I've placed the love of God within your heart, within your spirit. When you got born again, you got my nature. When you got born again, you received my nature. You received my DNA. You received the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and patience and kindness and tenderness. All of those things dwell within us, but we have to develop them. And the only way that you can develop them is getting the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Speaking the Word of God over your life, who you are in Christ Jesus. On these courses, we have a set of scriptures. We print out scriptures also for the people that come at the courses. And I tell these people, this is school. Bible school. It's school. You have to do your homework.
the pastor can be preaching up here for years. I've seen over the years people have sat in the church for years and still no change. Because he is not responsible to change you. He is responsible to preach the word to you, and you are responsible to take the word and apply it to your life so change will come. Pastors sometimes take on board, you know, because they see and they have a passion for people and they have a love for people. And it breaks their heart when they see people not having victory within their life. And sometimes they take on board these things. But that's not their responsibility. The sheep belong to Jesus. Jesus is the transform. Their job is to preach the word, to love the people, but to preach the word. The people's job is to take the word and activate the word in their life. I look around congregations over the years and I've seen, how come one's changing and one's not changing? And yet they're in the same church, hearing the same word, under the same spirit. Why is there no change in the people's lives? It's simple. One's a doer of the word and one's not a doer. They're sitting waiting for the sprinkling of the dust, thinking, oh, it's all going to happen. One touch of Jesus. You got the touch of Jesus when you received him. You got his nature. You got his DNA. You got his love. He's accepted you. It's all because of what he done. He's not asking you to try and make it happen in your life. All he's asking you is to believe what he done at Calvary. Believe that he rose from the dead, that he is the resurrection. He will resurrect your dreams. He will resurrect your family. He will resurrect your life. He is the resurrection. He says to Mary, she says, the resurrection. He says, no, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Jesus is still the resurrection today, and he will resurrect your life through the power of his words. One last scripture says this. It's another prayer of Paul. He says, I pray. He goes on to say that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. But he says, but the very things are within sight of you. That God is able. Chapter 3 of Ephesians again. Chapter, he says, God is able to do far more than you could ever imagine or even think, according to the power that works in you. Sometimes we've read that and we're thinking, according to the power that works in heaven. No, according to the power that works in you. The Spirit and the Word of God together working inside of you when you're declaring who you are in Christ Jesus and declaring his promises over your life. That's what will transform you. You'll walk into the revelation when you're speaking his word, who you are in Christ Jesus. You'll walk. If you're walking in the darkness, you don't know where to walk. But the entrance of thy word brings light, wisdom, and understanding. But when you speak the word of God, it becomes a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And you can see how to walk as you're supposed to walk, as who you are in Christ. Amen.
Are the foundational gifts, which is predominantly the apostolic and prophetic. But when that teaching mantle wafts in and washes over, it's like, and so these guys have not only this beautiful ability to impart the word of God, to speak the word of God, to encourage in the word of God. To transfer God's presence and power. So we're just going to give them an opportunity to pray for them. And I know we've gone sort of a little bit long today, but what we're going to do is, our usual gig, if you will. The Gems, maybe that's the name. The Gems. I don't know. But they're just going to come up and provide some atmosphere for us. I don't want to hold anyone up. I don't want to hold anyone back from their day. But if you want to just sit in the presence of the Lord, if you want to worship in the presence of the Lord, man, stay and do it. If you have to get over to roast lunch at Nana's house, praise the Lord. I mean, we're not going to sort of look at you sideways. If you have to get on and have some family time, whatever, praise the Lord. You got to watch the, you know, replay of the All Blacks test. I get it. They won, man. Just like, okay. So then you can stay now. These guys are going to stay, and they're going to pray for people.